therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function. So we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The gospel appointed for this day comes to us from the 16th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew. Now, when Jesus entered the district of Caesarea Philippi, he came to his disciples and asked them, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they answered, "Some say Elijah, some say John the Baptist, and still others say Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." But Jesus said to them, "And you, who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven." And then Jesus said, "You are Peter. On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it." Jesus said to all the disciples, "I will give you the keys to the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." And then he sternly ordered them not to tell any of them, anyone, that he is the Messiah. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The congregation will be seated. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our joy and our salvation. Studies show that the average American adult watches 5 hours and 4 minutes of television every day, or more than 35 hours a week. It's like people are not, it sounds like changing. Even more when football season comes on. So I just replied Google to see how much advertising do we see. And estimates range from a low of 4,000 commercials, billboards, and product placements to a high of 20,000 exposures to ads every single day. That's an awful lot of advertising, friends. And if you believe our U.S. intelligence departments, the Russians sent all kinds of posts and news stories to our social media to get us all to vote for President Donald Trump. But none of that is really all that new. Cultural influencers have been trying to get into our minds and hearts since the beginning of time. They've just gotten more sophisticated at it with every passing year. Way back in the first century, the Apostle Paul was deeply concerned that the larger Roman culture was having a significant influence on the Christians of the first century. He doesn't say exactly how he thinks that culture is influencing Christians, but we can gather from today's reading that some in the Roman church were a little bit too big for their britches. And on top of that, there were cliques forming within the congregation between those who thought they had gifts and resources to share and those who didn't. Paul is really worried that people are organizing their lives more around the ways of culture than the ways of grace. Well, of course they are. And that's why has a much bigger megaphone and way more money to spend on advertising than Jesus. I remember Pastor Paul saying that in his next life, he wants to be a coach because coaches have way more influence on kids than pastors do. And he has a point, right? Many of us have driven an hour or more to see our kids or our grandkids play in their away games. But I wonder how many of us would show up if we decided next week to have away church. What worries me most of all is I don't even think we realize the depth to which our larger culture is having an influence on us. I mean, it is very hard for us not to envy the size of our neighbors' houses, the shininess of their cars, or the number of vacation pictures they post on Facebook. As Americans, comparison is what we do. But as Christians, do we really want our lives to be guided by this over-the-top consumer culture or deeply divided partisan politics? I, for one, certainly do not. And so I need to take the Apostle Paul's words to heart today and see if I can discover ways that I can guide my life inside and out by the ways of grace. I think of Martin Luther, who made a habit of putting a bowl of water by his bedside. And every morning when he would get up, he would dip his finger in that bowl, make the sign of the cross on his forehead, and remind himself of his baptism. I like to begin each day with a morning offering that I learned from a seminary professor of mine years ago. It goes like this. Lord, give me the eyes to see what you see. Give me a heart that breaks for what breaks your heart. And help me not to duck. Simple rituals like this one can be a powerful hedge against the invasive values of our culture. And so I encourage each one of you to develop a morning offering ritual that works for you. You know, at its core, what Paul is really talking about this morning is asking us to dedicate our whole lives to God. And let's face it, that's hard. Because you and I are busy people, pulled in all kinds of different directions at once. If we were to diagram our lives, we would probably picture them something like a bicycle wheel, right? With ourselves at the center and everything that we do flowing out from that center hub like spokes on a wheel. Obviously, those spokes would include things like work and family, friends, and hobbies. And for those of us here, faith and church would obviously be another spoke in our wheel, right? We feel pretty good about that. Especially in a world today where most people are spending less and less time with God. But the Apostle Paul wants to completely redesign our wheel this morning. He is saying that at the center hub really should be not us, but God. And that everything that we do, from how we work, to the way we choose our friends, to how we spend our money, to what we do with our free time, all of that should flow naturally out of our foundational relationship with Jesus. That is a radically different way to think about how we interact with the world. And if that image makes you wince a bit, you're going to love the next one, right? Because Paul is calling on you and me to present ourselves as living sacrifices. And most, you know, we're living in a different time and place, right? So maybe we can escape this one, right? Because we are not familiar with this idea of sacrifice as part of worship, the way Paul's original audience was. But I suspect that most of us would be willing to jump in front of a speeding car to save somebody that we love. In a rare moment of courage, we might even be willing to do that for somebody we didn't know. But what the apostle is asking of you and me today is harder still. Because he is calling on us to be a living sacrifice, not to make one grand, once and for all sacrifice, but all kinds of smaller sacrifices where we put the needs, hurts, and hopes of others ahead of ourselves. And that, says Paul, is how you and I walk in the footsteps of Jesus. Now Paul uses one last image in today's text, one that we are familiar with from elsewhere in Paul's writings, where he talks about the church as being like the human body. Right? And of course, we know that this image is designed to remind us that each and every one of us has unique gifts and talents. That much we get. But the image also is a reminder that every single one of us gathers our effectiveness and our strength from being connected to the rest of the body. That is, to the larger community of faith. This is a challenge to everybody in the Roman church who thinks that they are standalone superstars. But it's also a word to each one of us that there are no negligible gifts in the body of Christ. We need every single gift and every single person. We really are dependent on each other for healthy functioning. See, the church is meant to be a countercultural community. And we demonstrate that we are countercultural when you and I form our lives, not on the basis of consumerism or partisan politics, but on the ways of grace. We demonstrate that we are countercultural by sacrificing ourselves to someone else in need. And we demonstrate that we are countercultural when we work together as a whole church, valuing every single gift and every single person as an equally loved child. These are the very same images that we are working tirelessly to share with students and persons. And if you think these are tough images to hear as adults, imagine hearing them in the individualistic pressure cooker of Georgia Tech. I mean, imagine trying to talk to students about finding their identity in God's grace, instead of the great format. or sacrificing not for self or for future earnings, but for somebody else. Imagine God talking to them about working not for their own success, but for the success of the world. All of these are countercultural values. And so, at Grace House, again and again, we try to embody grace overflowing, and practicing radical hospitality. Since I last shared with you a report of our campus ministry, I'm here to say that things are going very well. We started a free coffee house, Grace Coffee House, about this time last summer, and we built it up to the point where we are giving away 200 free espressos and lattes every single Thursday. Imagine that. Students like free coffee. But for us, it's about a conversation. And we figure every conversation costs us about $1. It's cheap as twice the price. We have a new class of live-in interns. They're fantastic, including a graphic artist, a singer, a dancer, and a tireless church volunteer. And I am more convinced than ever that God's grace is desperately needed among our young adults. This week, we were, on Tuesday afternoon, we were standing out in front of our house, giving away free popsicles to the hordes of students coming by. And while about 100 students did receive this sweet grace from us, I've got to tell you that many more never actually looked up from their iPhones. And one kid who came by actually said that he didn't have time to stop. Think about that. Not having time to stop for a free popsicle in 95 degrees. I mean, there is somebody who needs God's grace desperately, even if he doesn't know it. Friends, this is your campus ministry, and we can't do any of it without you. That's why I'm so grateful that Pastor Paul gave me permission to take a love offering for Grace House again this year. And I encourage you to be generous with those little orange envelopes as you are able. As you may know, the ELCA Churchwide no longer supports any campus ministries financially. The National Church just doesn't have the funds. And we receive about 8% of our budget from the Southeastern Synod. That means that 92% of our ministry comes from individuals and congregations. It comes from the need. So I am deeply grateful for your generosity. But even more than that, Grace House still needs your regular congregational prayer. We need Good Shepherd Lutheran Church to have our back. And if you are so inclined, we still have a couple of slots for congregations to bring us Tuesday night dinners this semester, my brother Steve. Not as great as that it is. Thank you, sir.
Thanks,
Paul.
There you go.
Things are going very, very well among your young people. Dalton Hutchinson of this congregation has become incredibly active. She was with me sharing the same spiel in another congregation just last week. Good things are happening in this ministry, and I'm so grateful to be part of it. It's the best job I'll ever have. All I got to do is love them and feed them. If you don't, I don't have to feed them. But more than anything else, really and truly, more than anything else, friends, I am profoundly grateful that this congregation and Grace House are part of the very same body of Christ that is trying with all our might to bring thirst-quenching grace to a very parched world.